Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, we had a minor setback on our way to 1,000 Patreon subscribers by the end of the year. There were around 24 declines, which means our total jumped by 40, then fell backward by 24. But that means we're still up by 16. Are you following this? It's math. It's hard for me. And in case you're just joining us, the 1,000th subscriber at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow will get to co-host an entire show with me. You'll get the chance to rant about Trump or whatever the hell's on your mind to tens of thousands of listeners. Again, that subscriber number 1,000 will get to co-host this podcast for one exciting episode. So when you get a chance, make sure to stop by our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and sign up for at least $1 per month. You'll hardly miss it, and you'll be supporting the show in the best way possible. Don't forget to tell all your friends, too. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you in advance, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
You're late! Get your kilt on!
Dad, I'm not wearing a stupid kilt.
Oh, you wear it, you'll get a kick in the face, you little bastard!
Dad, we live in America, no? No one else wears kilts.
No one else wears kilts, but then no one else is Scottish either. You'll wear it and you'll like it.
I'll know.
I'll kill you, son.
I'll know.
Oh, you're a dead man now, you bastard.
Oh, you make me laugh, wee man.
That's it, say goodbye to life.
Your mom wouldn't make me wear a stupid kilt.
Oh, don't bring up your mother, no fair bastard. I love you. I love you, son. I love you. It hurts. It hurts.
I'm sorry. I'll wear the kilt.
Welcome to All Things Scottish. My name's Angus. Can I help you?
Sure, Angus. I'd like to get something Scottish for my dad, like a little leprechaun.
Leprechauns are in fact Irish.
Oh, well, Irish, Scottish, it's the same thing.
Oh, it's the same thing, is it? Have a look at the map. There's Scotland, there's Ireland, there's the bloody sea. They're different now. Get out! Get out! Get out! This is not going to be the map. Get out!
Bob Seska. If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
The Bob Seska Show.
Well, something from Mike Pence right there and Donald Trump, right? From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 3, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap in the universe. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 959 of the Trump crisis, day 124 of the constitutional crisis, 425 days until the 2020 presidential election. And oh, look, sitting right over there, it's my good friend, Mr. Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Oh, man. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm all out of breath. Ruth Bader Ginsburg beat me up the stairs again.
Boom. All right. Thank you.
That plus the algebra with the Patreon thing. That was tough.
I know. Yeah. So much math. Yeah. So much math.
Wow. Speaking of which, did you see this, Bob? Our last show got a 5-star review. I've never even heard of a 5-star review.
Okay. Right. Trump
said he'd never heard of a Category 5 hurricane, and that's exactly what he said about his campaign aide.
That's I heard that. Someone told me through the grapevine. There's a rumor going around.
Yeah, I know. And don't forget, Bob, they're expecting you at the White House this evening for that game of pin the tail on the Alabama. You're going to see if you can help the
president.
Can't find it on a map,
that guy. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I've been busy, too. You're not the only one. I've been making a movie. It's a big,
A movie?
Yeah, it's a movie. It's a fictional war story. Got the idea from Joe Biden. Should be a big hit. Sorry, the jokes would be funnier if there was a loud helicopter in the background.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sure.
But I've also been reading up, and I'll finish here. Okay. I've also been reading up on mental illness and a very serious topic that's been in the news a lot lately. Uh-huh. And I found a fascinating little known statistic. Mental illness affects one out of every 44 presidents. So
that's, I heard that again.
You live and learn.
Yeah. I'm having trouble with numbers today, but
more math. It's all about, like you said, it's all about the math.
It is about the math. Yeah. And I'm a math stupid, and I'm amazed that I was able to subtract 24 from 40 and come up with 16. Usually.
And I'm not qualified to check your math. So you're on your own.
See, we're useless together, aren't we? Yeah. All right. You know what? I got to thank someone right here and now. Our mutual friend, Brian Hoekstra is doing amazing work right now. He's helping me set up a brand new website for the late Ches Pazienza. He used to be the co-host on this show, and we lost him back in 2017, back in February of 2017. And what happened was his site disappeared when the domain name expired. And of course, none of us were getting the email alert saying, oh, your domain name is about to expire, Ches Pazienza, because none of us are Ches Pazienza. So what happened was when the domain expired, someone grabbed it up, and I tried to get it myself because there was some thing with GoDaddy or some crap. And so I was trying to register it, but this guy, I guess in Indonesia, picked it up and started his own Ches tribute site at that deusexmalcontent.com website domain. And so as a result, we lost everything, I guess, because no one can get into his Blogger account either to get all those old articles that he posted for all those years. And then so what we've decided to do is Brian Hoekstra and I track down the entire site, thanks to the folks at archive.org and the Wayback Machine. So if you know what that's all about, they have an entire archive of the entire internet, basically preserved in this Wayback Machine thing, where you can dial up any website domain from any year or the past 20 years, and you can get all of these old sites that no longer exist anymore. So if you want to see,
it's also how we get Republican tweets that later got deleted. They also archive that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But they do archive every webpage. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what Brian's doing is Brian's capturing the archived version of Ches's site, and then he's going to hand it off to me. He's going to hand the baton, so to speak, off to me, and then I'm going to post it all at chespazienza.com, which is a domain name I just registered yesterday. And thank God I got, usually if I go to register a domain name like that, it's already been taken, but I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, chespazienza.com is still available. So I grabbed it up. Soon it will contain the entire archive of all of Ches's writing.
What a nice
From 2007 all the way up to 2017. So 10 years of Ches Pazienza writing and observations and music and everything else. His lists of all his favorite songs of every year and all of his favorite albums from every year. And then, of course, all of his essays and observations about politics and life, etc. It's all going to be there. And thank God for it. So once again, a huge thank you to Brian Hoekstra for doing the legwork on this. Yeah.
Hey, Hives. He's amazing. He's amazing.
He's one of the good guys. Stuff. Yeah, definitely.
He's the guy. He's the guy to go to for these things.
So you were talking about mental illness there. And by the way, here's the reaction that I'm getting for your monologue jokes. And
really? do I want to hear this?
Yes, of course.
These will not be archived. I'm pretty sure.
Everyone loves, of course, your Tuesday monologues, but they've been referring to them as dad jokes. And
I'm
taking that as a 100% compliment. That
I can live with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. So during your dad jokes today, Buzz, you're talking about mental illness. And of course, Donald Trump was showing his very best in brainworm activities over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the brainworms were manifesting themselves in many different ways, many of which we'll get to here in just a second. So here's where we can send Donald Trump after he's done being president.
Do you worry about Donald Trump being alone in the White House?
And I'm in the White House and I was lonely.
I know I do. Hi, I'm Martha Stewart, and there's a free service that you need to know about. It's called A Place for Don.
If you have a windmill anywhere near your house, they say the noise causes cancer.
They're the nation's largest batshit crazy criminal chief executive referral service. And they can help you find the right federal facility fast.
I'm not sure that I've ever even heard of a Category 5.
A Place for Don offers free one-on-one advice for congresspeople who haven't quite made up their minds about a referral.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges.
And a personalized list of maximum security homes, one of which will be perfect for an ex-chief executive. Believe me, I know. I've been there.
We told Don, we found this place. It's affordable, it's great. You're gonna love it. Let's go look at it.
Caring for a delusional president with a limited grip on reality can be difficult.
God bless the United States.
But now there's a place for answers. A place for Don.
If you're struggling to get information about where to put your president during this difficult time, then call to get the free help you need. Call now, 1-800-FED-LOCK. That's 1-800-FED-LOCK.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Yeah, yeah, he is. But the brainworms, totally on script. Thanks to Rocky Mountain Mike, based on an idea by Mary in Ann Arbor and performed by Mary and Steve in Ann Arbor, along, of course, with the great Richard Hensel there at the end. Yeah, Richard Hensel's hero to all of us who talk for a living. So it's always nice to hear from Richard and then, of course, Mary and Steve and Rocky Mountain Mike. So thanks for that. So
as long as he's locked up, I think that's what we all care about.
That's right. So, where do we begin? I guess the first thing I should ask is, you're completely out of danger from Hurricane Dorian, right?
That would appear to be the case. Good. I mean, who knows? But it does look at this point where it's going to stay just offshore.
Yeah.
It has expanded in size but weakened in strength, much like me. There's another dad joke. So
that's right. Okay. There you go.
It's moving up the coast. I'm going to have to think about that. It's moving up the east coast of Florida, and because it has expanded in size, it could actually do more damage, even though it's a weaker storm now.
Yeah.
But the track appears to be offshore as far as the center of the track goes, so it doesn't look like the west coast of Florida, where I am, will be affected.
Oh, what a relief.
You know, We may get some spin-off showers from it, but even that's questionable at this point.
But you and Mrs. Burbank are moving to Alabama any day now, so you're totally screwed there.
If I could find it, if I knew where it was, Bob, I would get home to Alabama.
So, Donald Trump has never heard of a Category 5 storm. This was Donald Trump the other day just making shit up and completely forgetting everything that's happened before.
I'm not sure that I've ever even heard of a Category 5. I knew it existed, and I've seen some Category 4s. You don't even see them that much, but a Category 5 is something that I don't know that I've ever even heard the term. Other than I know it's there. That's the ultimate, and that's what we have, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. That's Trump right there. Yeah, but, he was clearly talking through a vacuum cleaner tube right there, first of all. But second of all, he said he's never heard of a Category 5 storm. Donald Trump works on kind of an endless loop tape. It's almost like the old carts that we used to use in Radio Buzz.
Right.
Yeah, it gets to the end of it, and then he starts all over again. Brand new, same thing that he said the previous time.
And stuck in the moment, too. I mean, and here's the scary part. Not only did that sentence not hold up,
This
is the eighth time he's said this in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. dating back to 2017.
Yeah.
He said over and over again, I have never heard of a category. As Category 5 storms were approaching and in some case reaching the U.S., he has said now eight times. This is the eighth time he's said he's never heard of a Category 5 hurricane. So it's not just saying he's never heard of a category. It's the fact that it's the eighth time he said that he had never heard of a Category 5 hurricane.
That's incredible, because you know what? I only have 5 times listed here. And if it's 8 times, which I have no reason to doubt you, it's easily
it
8 times.
I swear. I've got
yeah.
the date.
Yeah.
Here, so, right I mean, in front of me. Here we go. September 14th, 2017. He said it twice. September 21st, 2017. He said it once. Again on September 26th, again on October 3rd, again on October 19th. That was all last year.
Yeah.
He had said it on May 8th of this year, and he said it again on August 1st of this year. And there are your 8 instances in which he said he's never forgetting clearly that he had ever said that before or that he had heard of these things. But forgetting that he even said that.
Trump is crazy.
I mean, it's always the same thing. I never even knew a Category 5 existed. Then again, he's
right.
People have never seen anything like that. Nobody has ever heard of a 5 hitting land. Never heard
these
about
are common
Category
phrases.
5s. Yeah.
Yeah. These are common phrases for him. Nobody's like the likes of which nobody's seen before. nobody's seen this before. Nobody's heard of this.
That I can
he
tell you.
He says this all the time about everything because he doesn't know and because he doesn't have any facts.
And it's also because he wants to be in charge during the most difficult endeavors to ever face the entire planet. Because this way, when it's all done, he can say, hey, look, I faced down the most difficult fill in the blank here that anyone has ever confronted in the history of history. And
he gets excited about that prospect. Yeah,
yeah, he really does. Either that or, and this is also just as likely, that he's just immensely morbid and really kind of gets off on other people's misfortune and tragedy. But
don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, but those 8 times, Buzz, that doesn't even begin to describe the lack of familiarity with a Category 5, especially knowing that he actually claimed $17 million in insurance damages for Mar-a-Lago after Hurricane Irma hit. And, of course, Irma was Category 5. There we go. Right. So, Category 5 Hurricane Irma, he collected $17 million for that, and he still has no idea what a Category 5 is.
And just a reminder, because I know a lot of people were tweeting and posting that, I hope it hits his place. I hope it hits Mar-a-Lago. I hope it hits,
Yeah.
And it you don't want that because you're going to pay for it if it does, either through taxes or through insurance rates. If, if a hurricane hits Donald Trump's property, you're going to pay for it. Even when there's minimal damage, he's made insurance claims for even the most minor storms.
Yeah.
Collected on them. And I smell fraud there, and there certainly would be again. So all I'm saying is as much as that feels good in the moment to say that, be careful what you wish for.
That's right. Right. I mean, while we all would love to see something of Donald Trump's destroyed, there are other people who live there too. And so, as Mar-a-Lago goes, so does the rest of Palm Beach County and the rest of Florida to an extent. But it appears now that everything is moving kind of up the coastline rather than careening right across Florida. That seems where seems to be where the track is going.
When we first saw this map, before it had approached the Bahamas, it was headed straight for my house. I mean, if you laid a ruler down that center line, it would take you right to my place. And so naturally, I was concerned. But then predictions and models began curving it northward, and as is often the case with a hurricane that approaches from that angle. And it is in fact headed up the coast at this point. Probably Georgia, although it's hard to tell. It may sort of skirt Georgia, but the storm has widened. So there is a great threat to them and to both the Carolinas. And, of course, as the president pointed out, possible effects in Alabama. You don't know.
This is right. I don't know where he gets Alabama out of that. I guess he saw like the far, far edge, like the most western edge possibly of the cone. And it kind of brushes against the lower eastern corner, the southeastern corner of Alabama, a teeny tiny bit. And maybe he was just going, well, of course, that completely justifies it, even though we know that he probably can't find it on a map.
Alabama's on the Gulf Coast. Maybe he was holding the map sideways. I don't know.
That's true. Well, the other thing is he went and posted classified intelligence. He posted that picture of that destroyed Iranian missile site and is sitting there going, well, of course I did. I'm allowed to do that. Why can't I do that? And it was right. One of the dumbest goddamn things, because it's not just the photo. I don't know if he fully grasps this, but it's not the photo. It's not about the subject matter of the photograph.
Right.
It's the fact that there is a series of surveillance satellites that are highly classified that right. are taking photographs of that region, right? And that's the thing that should have remained a secret. Of course, he's going, well, I can release whatever photo I want to because I'm the president. Well, yeah, you can, but that doesn't make it right. I mean, you can also commandeer the army and order them to arrest all of Congress if you wanted to. That doesn't make it. I know. I shouldn't have suggested that because we know that he listens to the show all the time, right?
Right. Edit that out.
He said here, we had a photo and I released it, which I have the absolute right to do. Well, just because you have the right doesn't make it right. And of course, now the intelligence community is going naturally batshit over this whole thing.
And other presidents have unclassified photos before as well. Kennedy did it. George W. Bush did it. They did so, though, with, I think, generally the approval of the intelligence community. The concern here is, as you said, that Iran, fully aware it's being watched by American satellites, it may not have known about that satellite. He did not run that by anybody. As near as we can tell, he took that photo on his cell phone off of a laptop computer screen.
So he actually is responsible. I mean, literally responsible for the tweet. This wasn't a staffer or some other person.
No, this was him. He took the photo of the laptop. That's how the president is shown these photos, is via laptop computer. Fortunately, Defense Intelligence stepped in and redacted the upper left corner of the picture where crucial data is written.
I see.
Before letting him release it. So to that degree. But they were opposed otherwise to releasing the photo. They figured if he was going to do it anyway, we have to at least black out this info in the upper left.
So good job, Magus. Good job. Because now Iran knows about our secret spy satellites. That was really smart.
Well, this one, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, they knew they were being watched. They may not have known about this one. They may not have known about how close we could get it. I've seen a commercial satellite photo of the same damaged launch site. And one of the differences with the U.S. Government photo is that the government photo is much closer,
much more detailed,
and includes tags that identify buildings and other features of this bombed out launch site.
Wow. So the actual commercial photo could have shown basically the same stuff, but with maybe a little less detail. Like anyone really following Donald Trump on Twitter is going to go, I want something with more detail than this. Why don't you give me some classified photography? Mr. Trump, please.
And maybe the worst of it is that he used this classified material to taunt Iran. There was no worldwide diplomatic purpose in releasing that photo other than to taunt Iran. Mm-hmm. That was its sole purpose. And along with the comment, gee, I hope you figure out who did this. Now, that's an intentionally incendiary remark because there were already suspicions, not from Iran officially, but the suspicions have been circulating, again, not from the Iranian government, but they've been circulating. The U.S. was involved in some kind of sabotage at this site that caused this explosion. If that is on any level true, and I don't know if it is or isn't, none of us do.
No.
None of us do. But the president used that opportunity to taunt Iran, saying, gee, I hope you figure out who did it.
Yeah, very, very, very Vladimir Putin of him, wasn't it?
With these suspicions afoot that the U.S., in fact, did it. Maybe we did, maybe we didn't. I don't know. But Trump was exploiting this tension and this opportunity to ratchet things up even more and taunt Iran. Is this a good idea? I think I implored people last week, go up to people on the street and ask them if this is a good idea. I don't think it is.
Yeah, I know. And again, it's pulled directly from the Vladimir Putin playlist because this is something that Vladimir Putin does. As soon as he gets caught doing something and then we know that it's him, he gaslights everybody and goes, that's not us. We had nothing to do with that. What? You're crazy for thinking that we would attack your election infrastructure and invade your sovereignty by disrupting your democratic elections over there to make you look silly and to make democracy look undesirable to the rest of the world. We didn't do anything like that. We have no... you know, as they're describing the whole point of what it is they're trying to do, revealing themselves. I mean, it just, again, you know, both of these guys, Trump and Putin, are both Captain Obvious. They both are so clear. I mean, Donald Trump projecting his guilt all goddamn morning with going off about the Inspector General report and Comey and continuing to rant about the Russian witch hunt, which, by the way, I mean, thanks for reinvigorating that conversation, Mr. Trump. Thanks for going there Biff.
Where did that come from? Any clues, Bob? I hadn't seen anything to prompt his unwarranted defense there. Have you?
I don't know. Maybe it was the Jim Comey thing, the report that said he violated the rules but didn't break the law. Yeah,
that was three or four fires ago. As fast as the news moves, I'd almost forgotten about Comey.
Yeah,
he clearly has not.
And you know, I watched yesterday afternoon the movie Interstellar with Matthew McConaughey. It's the second time I've seen it, but the thing is, the whole premise, the whole launching off point of the movie is that Earth suddenly becomes, over a period of time, uninhabitable by humans. And I'm looking
not possible.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at everything happening in the news and going, well, Christopher Nolan really kind of nailed where we're headed, didn't he? And plus, we're not going to have a wormhole to help us.
Not the first to nail it. I mean, there have been a number of great movies that have talked about, you know, post-apocalyptic times.
Well, the other thing is Donald Trump, on the day that commemorated the invasion, the blitzkrieg invasion of Poland by Hitler and his Nazi forces, this is what Donald Trump chooses to say to Poland.
I do have a great message for Poland, that we have Mike Pence, our vice president, is just about landing right now. And he is representing me. I look forward to being there soon. But I just want to congratulate Poland. It's a great country with great people. We also have many Polish people in our country. It could be 8 million. We love our Polish friends, and I will be there soon.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and by the way, Poland starts with the letter P, and it's in Eastern Europe. I mean, what's its chief export? Textiles? You know, good God. Talk about
this this is the length and breadth of his knowledge of Poland. He just told you everything he knows about it.
That's
and
right.
He's just congratulated Poland for being invaded by Nazis.
And, you know, he didn't even mention Poland's President Duda.
Look out.
Oh, wait.
Camp Town racers sing this song. Duda, Duda. Camp Town racetrack 5 miles long. Oh, Duda day.
That's my little Duda theme. Pence is over there. There was a whole debacle with Pence, too, and where he was staying. He was staying at one of the Trump's resorts, and it's like 3 hours away from where he needed to go in Dublin, and it's just a goddamn mess over there.
But staying there at Trump's place, stay at my place. Staying there, the taxpayers can pick up the bill, and the money can go into Trump's pocket
because
that's what he uses the presidency for unconstitutionally, and. Pence gets to ride in a helicopter, and taxpayers get to pay for that as well.
Okay, let's take a quick break here and talk about our favorite Plexiderm. Picture your face in the mirror. Do you see all those wrinkles around your eyes? How about crow's feet or those large under-eye bags? Now imagine that they're gone. I'm not talking about some risky, expensive surgery. Gone in just minutes. It's called Plexiderm, a clinically studied serum that visibly enables or eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just minutes. It's the edge you've been looking for. If you don't believe it, the truth is I didn't believe it either until I tried it. In fact, we got our canister of Plexiderm here right when we first started talking about Plexiderm, and Kimberly Johnson and I had to kind of fight over it because each one of us wanted to see if it actually did work. So she got it first. She tried it out. She was amazed that it worked, but I didn't quite believe. So I had to try it myself. And I stood there and, you know, in about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, gone, poof, all the wrinkles and everything out of the way. Simply put, I'm blown away by the results. Plexiderm can give you the confidence you'll need to be yourself at work or out with friends. The best part is Plexiderm goes on clear, so nobody knows that you're using it unless you tell them. And honesty is always the best policy. But if you don't, hey, that's okay too. Go to triplexiderm.com and use my code SEXYLIBERAL. Again, that's two words, SEXYLIBERAL at triplexiderm.com for 50% off plus an additional $10 off. That's right, 50% off an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code SEXYLIBERAL. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit triplexiderm.com today and use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout.
The Bob Seska Show. So ride, we can do it day or night. Shift your body into drive. Ride the bump and feel alive. Unlock your belt, hip warp speed. Push it forward, plant the seed.
Oh yeah, this is Freak Bass. That's Freak with two E's. Freak Bass, all one word. And the song called Thrust from All the Way This. That's the new album. By the way, I've got the link in the description below if you want more Freak Bass. Yeah, I know Freak Bass from Twitter. We have a good time chatting about bass lines. Yeah, we do. That's what I do. When I'm not talking about politics, I'm talking about bass lines. Sue me.
A little throwback to like Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Oh, my God. By the way.
Which makes you happy.
Yeah.
You have a new music show out this month.
I do. Yeah. In fact, I just posted it Sunday night. In fact, Indie Music Countdown, go to bobseska.com. You can listen there. Also, Indie Music Countdown on Apple Podcasts and everywhere you get your podcasts, including Stitcher Radio and all points in between. Okay, so up next, over the weekend, I ended up in a little bit of a spat with some guy named James Gagliano about, of course, gun control. He posted something along the lines of, well, he said here, PSA, the AR and AR style weapon is not an acronym for assault rifle or automatic rifle. Avoid making this nomenclature mistake. AR is actually shorthand for the company Armalite that designed the weapon in the 1950s and the rifle. Armalite rifle equals AR. Best to understand the description. Of course, this is more gunsplaining.
I tangled with this guy as well, and my short response was, and yet it's still an assault rifle. What a coincidence.
That's right. Well, I mean, this is the thing that pops up in every thread under every gun control tweet or article or blog. Yeah, it is complete bullshit. By the way, Armalite, the AR in the acronym ARMA, in Armalite, that stands for assault rifle, by the way.
Yes. So, yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, so when these people are going, hey, well, AR doesn't stand for assault rifle, it stands for Armalite rifle. Well, there is an AR in Armalite, and the AR in Armalite stands for assault rifle, so go fuck yourself. How about that? So this always comes up, and of course I replied to this guy. I said, now that you've clarified the acronym, Mr. Wizard, do the number of people killed at Sandy Hook and a dozen other places by a guy with an AR-15. And that, to me, is where the real focus of the conversation needs to be, not on the stupid goddamn acronym, which is just repetitive and annoying and splainy and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So on that note...
Been a lot of confusion about this, Bob. I agree. So here now are the top 10 things the A could stand for in AR-15.
So the top 10 things.
Exactly. Top 10 things the A could stand for. Thank you, Paul. The top 10 things the A could stand for in AR-15. Here we go. Number 10, Acme. Number 9, Acne. Number 8, Arachnophobia, because they're great for killing spiders.
I see.
Number 7, Asexual. Number 6, Aryan, which is really just asexual again. Number 4, Agnes. Number 3, Asshole. And number 2, Available at Walmart. And the number 1 thing the A could stand for in AR-15.
Number 1,
Mitch McConnell.
There we go. A little machine gun here too. How about that? Oh, very nicely done. You know, we were just talking about this the other day. Everyone on morning radio used to steal bits directly from David Letterman. Here we go. Right.
Perfect. And it struck me as a silly concept, trying to think of A words. Because of that guy. Because of the very
because
guy,
of that guy. That
you tangled with. Yes,
that dick. Right. Several new gun laws went into effect on Sunday in Texas. Perfect timing right after another mass shooting there, right?
8 of them, yes.
Yeah, allowing guns in foster homes because, you know, as soon as you enter a foster home, first thing I'm thinking is, where's my goddamn gun?
Toddlers with guns, be afraid. Be very, very afraid.
Another law makes it illegal for landlords to disallow guns in rental units.
Right. You own the building, but you can't tell the guy who lives there not to have a gun in your building.
Another law makes it easier to bring guns into churches, which is totally the perfect place to have, collateral damage when you're in a gunfight. When it's suddenly the OK Corral during the homily. This is the
Have you priced stained glass?
That's right. Have they not thought about the stained glass, for
Nobody
God's sake?
Nobody thinks about these things, Bob.
Greg Abbott has always been tone deaf on this topic and a little bit in the Alex Jones world, I would say, kind of, sort of.
That far.
Yeah. As you remember, Jade Helm, during the Jade Helm military exercises, Greg Abbott ordered his Texas State Guard to go and monitor the United States military as it did these exercises to make sure that it wasn't going, the Army wasn't going to take over all kinds of small towns in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. That was really important to do. Make sure you use state resources to make sure that there's not going to be an Alex Jones fever dream that's going to storm and blitzkrieg across the country. But he said here in 2015, this is a fascinating tweet that sort of made the rounds on Twitter over the weekend. It said here, I'm embarrassed. Texas is number 2 in the nation for new gun purchases behind California. Let's pick up the pace, Texans.
Cute. Yeah. Very cute.
Funny. Yeah. As you can see, we're just laughing out loud, and I just can't stop slapping my knee. It's just an incredible bit of comedy right there.
They will not budge. They will not budge. Despite what they see going on in the country and around them, they will not budge on this.
Well, the good news for Governor Abbott is that Texas is number 1 right now in mass shooting deaths for the month of August 2019. So congratulations, Governor Abbott, you're number 1 finally in something.
We mean that in the way that President Trump congratulates Poland, of course.
That's right. Shit. Meanwhile, Moscow Mitch is in the news. Moscow Mitch McConnell said he'd absolutely confirm a Supreme Court justice next year if an availability comes up and Donald Trump has to nominate another Supreme Court justice. He would approve it next year. You know, an election year. You know, when the last time we had an election year.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Said that couldn't do it.
I think we send Ruth Bader Ginsburg over to kick his ass because I think she could do it, first of all. Mm-hmm. I hope this doesn't happen. But that's all we can do, isn't it? It is just hope.
Well, if it happens, let's hope that it's Clarence Thomas or someone.
There is a way around this, by the way.
Yeah.
There is a way around, and that is the removal of this president.
That's true.
Perhaps without this president, I don't know. You have to think about Pence and all that. But this is why. Trump is there to enable Mitch on this. He's got Trump's got Mitch's back on this. And they have each other's backs on this.
Yeah.
This is the corner we have voted ourselves into.
Well, watch for this. This may be an interesting turn of events. Watch for Clarence Thomas to retire next year. And I'll tell you why. Because if he retires in 2020, before the 2020 election, that means the Republican Senate will be able to confirm a replacement conservative justice. Now, if Clarence Thomas waits until 2021 and a Democrat is in the White House, then that seat is going to flip from conservative to liberal. And I don't think Mitch McConnell or Donald Trump or the entire conservative entertainment complex wants that to happen. They don't want to give President Biden / President Sanders / President Warren / President Harris the opportunity to replace Clarence Thomas. So it's possible that Clarence Thomas, at now age 71, will step down preemptively before he gives the Democrats an opportunity to replace him. And so I'm, you know, we all have our fingers crossed for the health of both Breyer and RBG. But, you know, anything can happen. So I hope that they'll hang on. You know,
yeah. My thought on this is that, first of all, even if Clarence Thomas were to be replaced by another conservative, I can't imagine it being someone as radically conservative as Clarence Thomas.
No.
Some of the other appointees that Trump has, Gorsuch, I think, in particular, has surprised us and has not necessarily sided with Trump and the Republicans on a number of issues. In other words, there's some flexibility there. There's an opening there.
Yeah.
You don't get that with Clarence Thomas. Maybe with his replacement, even a conservative, you would. But the other thing I want to mention is that they said the same thing about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that she should have retired before Obama left office so that he could replace her. They said that until they saw that Obama, in his last year in office, was not going to be allowed to replace a Supreme Court justice, and that's when everybody shut up about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and prayed for another 5 years of good health for her.
Well, you know, I've always been opposed to the idea, Buzz, of stacking the court with more justices, like expanding maybe to 11 justices on the Supreme Court up from 9.
Right.
We can't win this way, so let's do this flank maneuver and try to do something weird with the number of justices.
I know, and my gut goes with you on that, Bob, except for one thing.
Yes.
They cheated. They've stacked the court. They've broken
Thank
the
you.
Rules
yeah.
to stack the court, so... No, I don't want to cheat, but what I want to do is restore a natural balance to this thing that does not exist because it's been cheated, because it's been artificially contorted by Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't want to make a habit of this, but what they did needs to be undone, not because they appointed conservative judges, but because of the way they did it.
Now, do you think that there is ultimately an end game with the potential for that back and forth playing politics with the Supreme Court? I mean, obviously, there's lots of politics that surround the Supreme Court, especially now. But so Mitch McConnell did this thing where he blocked Merrick Garland in 2016.
Right.
We
right.
turn around and we expand the court, which I think, in all fairness, can happen now that Mitch McConnell has put this kind of ridiculousness on the table.
Bets are off, maybe, huh?
Yeah, but at the same time, though, my only concern with that, and this is, again, my only concern, is that then the Republicans retaliate by doing something else, and then it becomes this... this back and forth, this hot potato that gets thrown back and forth, endlessly escalating toward something, which I don't know what that end game would ultimately be. But at some point that would have to stop, wouldn't it? At some point we'd have to go, okay, let's stop monkeying with the Supreme Court and let's all decide that we minimize the amount of politics that we've linked up with this over the past a couple of years. And let's try to actually play like grownups on this now. And I hope that we eventually get to that place. I don't know whether we will, because it just seems like, you know, the way politics works, especially in the past 30, 40 years, is that endless back and forth. Well, you did this first. Well, okay, now we're going to do this other thing, and then they're going to retaliate. You know what I mean? It just, it starts to make me nervous.
Then we must make sure that the Republicans never hold power again.
That's perfect.
If they stay on the course they're on, that's not impossible.
Right. I think that's entirely possible. I mean, the best case scenario, ultimately, is that Donald Trump reduces it in stature small enough so that becomes what David Frum thinks it should be, which is a permanent opposition party where the Republicans are there just to kind of keep the Democrats from going too crazy or something like that. I mean, I'm not making that up. That is, David Frum is a lifelong Republican. David Frum understands politics like the back of his hand. And what he said was something that I think is the way things ought to be as a standard. Obviously, it's not always going to be like that. But in the United States, I think it's better off when you've got adults in the Democratic Party making all the tough decisions and doing all the governing while you have the Republicans sitting there and just acting as a check on Democratic power.
I think I think the Republican Party is minimally qualified to act as an opposition party. Yes. I'll go along with it. I'll give them, that's my ringing endorsement, minimally qualified.
Minimally qualified, that's right. And again, you know, I don't know if I've spoken about this on the free version of the show yet, but we've been watching The Loudest Voice. In fact, we just watched the finale last night, which is the Showtime series about Roger Ailes. And and again, I'm watching this series, which is entirely about Roger Ailes, with an incredible series of performances, primarily by Russell Crowe in this miniseries. But the thing that I keep going back to as I'm watching this series is, this is not so much about Roger Ailes as it is about Donald Trump. Just about everything that you're watching on the screen being done by Roger Ailes, I also get the sense that Donald Trump is responsible for a similar kind of thing. Maybe not the, you know, the ugly, evil genius of running Fox News Channel the way Roger Ailes did. Certainly the sexual assault and sexual harassment that's going on, or that was going
culture.
On. Yeah,
that shared culture. A shared culture between them.
Yeah. Exactly right. And also, I think Roger Ailes was the inspiration for a lot of what Donald Trump believes, because Donald Trump ultimately is an empty vessel. Donald Trump absorbs what he thinks is right and what he thinks will benefit him personally, and then regurgitates all of that. So basically, Donald Trump's entire platform is horked directly from Fox News Channel, which was Roger Ailes, and Roger
they
Ailes
do it,
was
Fox. I will say this about Fox. They do it better. They do it better than Trump does.
Yeah, that is true.
But I think you're right. I think he saw what he perceived as working for Fox and tried it. So he doesn't have the intellect for it.
Yeah.
But the technique he has found effective, and he's right, it has been effective. But his qualifications are no more than that of a carnival barker, I think.
Yeah, an extremely paranoid carnival barker.
right.
I mean, that was indeed the key to Roger Ailes' entire lifespan, basically.
It's just paranoia?
This utter degree of bellicose paranoia, where everything was a fight. It's always them coming after me and trying to take what we have, which is we being the white establishment, spoken so clearly by Bill O'Reilly back in 2012 or whatever it was. That's what Roger Ailes was aiming toward, and that's what Donald Trump is aiming toward. Yeah,
they're all about fear. They're motivated by fear, and they use fear to motivate others. And while we were sitting here talking about that, it occurred to me that that's a basic psychological definition of liberals and conservatives. A conservative is by nature, I think, afraid.
Yeah.
That is why they are conservative.
That's
and
right.
Withdrawn. A liberal or progressive isn't afraid to go forward, isn't afraid to try new things, isn't afraid to expand their thinking, while a conservative tends to withdraw into this very tight little fetal ball.
And
that's an interesting thing I hadn't thought about before, but maybe that sort of explains the use and motivation of fear among conservatives.
That's right. And the sexual harassment, by the way, was one of two main prongs as to why Roger Ailes was so sinister, the way he treated all the women around him, including his wife. But at the same time, running concurrently with that was the horrendous way he was running Fox News Channel. And horrendous from the outside, obviously, from a normal perspective looking in, it was horrendous. From the inside, it was making Rupert Murdoch and Murdoch's boys gigantic profits. And so in that sense, it was successful, but it was successful in the most evil way possible, where it was playing to the fears and paranoias and bigotry of the certain segment of the American population, which Donald Trump has now politically weaponized. And, you know, again, you just can't look at The Loudest Voice without constantly thinking Trump, 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 Trump. And then ultimately, and this goes to the finale last night, best case scenario, Trump goes down in a similar way that Roger Ailes goes down.
Yeah. It seems inevitable, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can succeed with a game plan like that. That's not a great business model in the long run. It certainly did pay very well for them each, Fox and Trump, in the short run. But long term, I don't think it pays off. And I think we can see where this is headed For Trump, certainly, just as it was for Fox.
You know, the other curious thing that I noticed that connects both Roger Ailes and Donald Trump is the very liberal, small L liberal use of non-disclosure agreements. That was one of the things.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Ailes getting all these women to sign NDAs, former employees signing NDAs. Whether it was, who was it, Brian Lewis or is it Bill Lewis? What are the Seth MacFarlane character from the miniseries. Yeah, Brian. Brian Lewis, yeah. None of these people, including Gretchen Carlson, can actually talk about Fox News Channel for the rest of their lives. They can't talk about anything that they experienced during their time there because of these ironclad NDAs. And we were talking about this on Thursday's show, Buzz, with regard to Donald Trump and his NDAs. And now we're discovering more and more often that maybe even cabinet level secretaries, certainly West Wing staffers, sure, but also cabinet level secretaries and maybe undersecretaries too, have all signed non-disclosure agreements so that they are legally forbidden from talking about Donald Trump and all of his rank incompetence. And I guess the latest example is Mad Dog Mattis as the latest example of that, because clearly he is holding his fire. He is not saying certain things, and it could be an NDA. It could be some sort of some form of patriotism about the presidency.
I think that's
or,
what it is. I think he's trying to continue to play it straight. I can't imagine him agreeing to sign an NDA. I can't imagine him being presented with an NDA. Yeah. I will say two things about non-disclosure agreements, and one is that they're valid only if a court rules them so.
Yeah.
Some are, because of their wording, invalid. Some are, you know, it just because it's on paper doesn't mean it's legit. And so there's that to consider. And also, when one of the parties dies, the agreement is off. So if Trump were to, say, pass away, anybody who had signed a deal with him, that their deal with him, if the deal was Fox, that was something different.
Yeah.
But if they had a deal directly with Roger Ailes, that deal's off now. Now mm-hmm. that he's dead, as it would be with Trump, with his passing. So I think with Ailes, I think you could go back and some of those could be challenged easily now that he's not there to contest them.
And the other thing, you mentioned death as being the end of an NDA.
Yes.
One of the things I noticed last night is they didn't show at the very... Spoiler warning, I know most of us know that Roger Ailes died. I think it was earlier this year. The fact is that they didn't show Roger Ailes' death in the miniseries. It wasn't at the end. It was just in the form of sort of an epilogue text on a screen kind of thing.
Right.
And, I turned to Kimberly after we were done watching it, and I said, that's the only thing I didn't like about this miniseries was the fact that we didn't get to see Roger Ailes die. I would have loved to watch Roger Ailes die.
Some gasping, moaning, and drooling would have been a good touch.
Watching he fell in the bathroom, didn't he? He fell down in the bathroom, knocked his head, and because he was a hemophiliac, he ended up getting a brain bleed, and that's how he died. It's just a shame we couldn't see that.
It's very similar to Elvis in that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just different body parts. It's interesting that you bring this up now at a time where Fox News and Trump are fighting publicly and taking some pretty good swings at each other. I've been surprised, and they've made me smile to see certain people at Fox fighting back in a way.
Neil Cavuto,
never thought we'd see. He's one of the latest to Judge Napolitano over the weekend as well. Accused Trump of violating the Constitution's separation of powers three times.
Wow.
Just last week.
Incredible.
Just in 1 week, he says he violated it three times. So we're starting to see these glimmers of resistance at Fox. And of course, not from the prime time lineup, not from Hannity and Pirro and those. You're not going to get that. But mommy and daddy are fighting. And I do not expect them to break up. Trump has talked about people going to, finding another network, another conservative network, because Fox isn't working for them anymore. That's not going to happen. Fox viewers are not going to leave Fox. My dad can't find another channel on the TV at this point. Don't tell the Red Hats, though, because don't tell them that they're going to stay together, because right now I'd rather see them worry about the fact that mommy and daddy, Fox and Trump, are fighting and that Walmart has asked them not to bring their guns in anymore. This is not a good day for red hats,
right?
Because of the things that are some of these things that are happening, and so it'll be interesting. Keep get your popcorn ready and keep watching because there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, just a side note for our listeners, great editing today, Bob. Just really.
We've been losing our ISDN signal throughout the entire goddamn show.
For different reasons, Bob and I both deserve combat pay today.
It is ridiculous.
This has been a bit of a challenge, but by God, we're seeing it through.
Yeah, I have a prediction too, and I was going to try to get to this before the break, but we're going to do a quick break here. We're going to wrap up the show, but I've got a prediction about what Donald Trump is going to do potentially after he leaves office. We're going to do that in just a second, right after these words.
Hey, dude. Being at the racetrack is a blast! High five!
Whoa, man, you can put your arm down now.
What, you gonna leave me hanging? Come on, bring it in for a hug.
That's okay, man. We're cool.
What's the matter? We're all buds, man.
I hate to tell you, but I think you need to take a pit stop.
What? I'm not driving a race car, man.
No, pit stop. It's, an all-natural deodorant that'll keep your pits from, being the pits.
Oh, no. My pits are the pits?
Hey, don't worry, man. Luckily, my pals over at Bubble Genius have you covered. They've created all-natural stuff to help with summer stank. Everything from pit stop deodorant to cooling facial mist to talc-free body powders that leave you soft, not sweaty.
Hey, cool!
You said it. Bubble Genius keeps you cool all summer long.
BubbleGenius.com!
Bob Seska! This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Yes, it is. Yeah, this is another play for Dave Moulter in his song Mid-Century Man. The name of the album is, I'm looking it up quickly, Foolish Heart. That's the name of Dave's new album. I love this stuff. We've heard from Dave before on the show, and I'm a huge fan. Also, you should follow him on Twitter, too. I think it's Dave Moulter Music on Twitter.
May I just say?
Yes. The irony.
Good taste.
Yeah, okay. See, you just said, may I just say, and right then and there, your audio muted because of this goddamn ISDN. Okay, so you were going to say? Oh, did we lose him again? Oh, shit, it happened again. Okay, now I'm going to refresh that thing. Oh, hell. I was just going to say, yeah, okay. What were you just going to say?
I don't remember now.
Shit.
I say I got it.
Okay.
I just want to say you have great taste in music.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's only as good as the musicians that submit their music to me. So bobseska.com/music. Thank you for providing good taste for me because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
You choose it well, my friend.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I was going to say, here's my prediction for what Donald Trump will do if he loses the election. And again, yes. God damn it, don't get happy. If he loses the election, one of two things will happen. And one is more sinister and the other is, very easily predictable. Well, the sinister one is obviously he's going to put up a big stink about the results of the election. But what will happen is, obviously, the movement of democracy will move forward and the next president will be inaugurated. Yeah. Yes. But Donald Trump will form almost a shadow presidency where he'll continue to do rallies. He'll continue to tweet. He'll continue to behave as if he is the president, but he's not the president. He won't be.
He'll be like a white Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, kind of in that sense. But the other thing that he could do. And this relates back to Fox News Channel. This is why I thought of it. We were talking about Fox News Channel a second ago. There is a competitor to Fox News Channel, and it is called OANN, the One America News Network. And here's my prediction. I just came up with this, so hang on tight. I think Donald Trump is going to join up with OANN. I think Donald Trump is going to hork some Fox News talent and bring them over to OANN and rebrand it Trump TV. I think OANN will become Trump TV, and that'll be Donald Trump's post-presidency project.
And, you know, I think this is a fine prediction. I don't doubt it at all. I think this could absolutely happen. But let me ask you this.
Okay.
Let's think ahead. How long can that last? How long can that channel stay afloat if that happens? How, in terms of years, how many years do you give that before it just dies of its own weight?
Well, maybe about as many years as Trump University lasted, or Trump Steaks,
see,
or Trump Vodka, you know?
This is swell. This would be a great way for him to just sort of gradually disappear.
Yeah.
And really, from our radar, disappear completely. And wouldn't it be something if he did poach, and I use this term loosely, talent from Fox News and took it with him to OANN, turned Trump TV, and Fox decided to play it a little straighter going forward.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll still be a lean conservative network, but maybe they won't be as stupid conservative as they've been with some of the folks that Trump will take with him through his new network.
Yeah.
So I think what you're saying is entirely plausible. I say great. I hope so. More power to him. Again, my dad can't find OANN on the cable. A lot of cable companies don't carry it. So, you know, good luck. Fine. See you, Donald. Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
What you got to do now, Buzz, is find it yourself next time you're there and block it preemptively.
Preemptive. This I could get away with.
Yeah.
This I could do. If it is on the cable, and I don't know that it is, but if it is, I block it. He never finds it, and we live happily ever after.
I mean, it's going to be all the rejects from Fox News Channel going over there, like Dan Bongino and all those guys. They'll be loaded up on OANN, and Donald Trump will make it Trump TV, and then he'll take on Fox News Channel, then Fox News Channel will position itself more as the moderate conservative cable news network.
I don't, you know, perhaps this is underestimating Trump's base, but I don't think they can find him. Without Fox, they can find Fox, and they'll still find Fox. They're not going to leave Fox.
Yeah.
If Trump leaves Fox, they won't go with him. Well, good luck.
Part of the problem is the Red Hats aren't going to be able to spell OANN. That's a major problem for them.
Starting with Dan Bondi, yes.
That's right. The best hour of news you're going to hear all goddamn week comes up this Thursday.
A lot of people call it dad news.
Dad news, that's right. Buzz Burbank. No. Mm-hmm. I'm just giddy. And stupefied by our technical problems here on the show today. So I'm just giggly at this point.
It's only going to take 3 or 4 hours to edit this together. You'll be fine.
BuzzBurbank.com, also RealmNetwork.com, and you can anywhere else you get your podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and all points in between, Apple Podcasts, and what have you. And any place you happen to listen to podcasts, your best.
For today's show, I'd use Stitcher.
That's right. Shit. Okay. Meanwhile, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, sexyliberal.com, my show, Jody Hamilton's show, Stephanie Miller's show, Randy Rhodes' show, Dean Abadala's show, John Fugelsang has a show. Of course, Frangela has a show, Rude Pundit, Dana Goldberg, and Proud Resistor. They've all got shows there at sexyliberal.com. Make sure to give a 5-star rating and reviews to all of your favorite podcasts. Thank you in advance for that. Okay. Postmortem show coming up next on our Patreon page. I think, maybe, if it'll continue to work, Gilligan has to keep pedaling his bamboo bicycle. We'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Gilligan!
If you enjoyed that podcast, I hope you'll check out my podcast, I Want to Be Your Muslim Friend, with me, Dean Obidala, because I want to be your MBFF each week, where I'm going to make you laugh while making you smarter, right here on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network.